Okay, praise the Lord. I'm guessing Chris can hear us downstairs. I pray she can. I forgot to test it today. Had a lot of other things on my mind and doing and whatnot. And we forgot to pray for the Marburger drivers and all the truck drivers on the road. Let's just take a moment and do that. Father, we lift up to you all the drivers on the roads, Lord, especially those who are working for the local dairies, Lord, who are making sure that folks get what they need. And Lord, for all the truck drivers, those that deliver the food, Lord, that is filling the shelves that other people are emptying. And Lord, we pray against this pandemic of fear. Lord, we ask that you would just enable and empower people to not be afraid, as your word says, to be not afraid. And we pray this in Christ's name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Have you ever had someone dislike you or hate you so much that they wanted you dead? I know I have. Oh, I know that for certain that I have, okay? Now, in a sense, we all have. We all have, okay, because there are forces in the world right now that want nothing more than to have every Christ follower removed from the earth. They're there, okay? That's not, I'm not telling you that to frighten you, okay? This isn't a message of fear. This is a message of God's love, all right? You got to pay attention now. The enemy of souls will stop at nothing in his ceaseless efforts to silence those who follow the one that we call Jesus, Yeshua. And as we'll see today, this is nothing new. It's been going on for centuries. It started with him. Now, as we begin reading, we're going to see once again that the religious leaders, they wanted him dead. They were going to arrest him, but they were afraid. See, they were afraid because this was the Passover. This was the big celebration, okay? They wanted to arrest him, but they were going to hold off because they were afraid that the people would revolt. That's where we're going to start again. We started there a couple weeks ago, and then we jumped somewhere else, and that's what we're going to do today. But you have to see what the time was and what was happening. Their eyes were firmly set upon killing him. They sought how to take him by trickery. They weren't going to do it righteously. He hadn't done anything wrong. He hadn't sinned. He hadn't broken the law. Because of their great hatred for him, they were firmly set. Their eyes were just bent on getting him. That's all they, it was consuming their thoughts. How can we get this guy? We got to get him. We got to stop him. They paid a snitch, sent their troops, and they arrested the one that they hated, even though they were right in the midst of the festival of Passover. See, they changed their minds because they wanted him so bad. And as we'll see, this was a time right after he had gone in and chased them out of the temple. He made himself a whip of cords. He assaulted them physically. He did property damage. Yeah, our Lord. Yeah, our Lord. Okay? But he sinned not, because his anger was righteous anger. And the scripture tells us, be angry and sin not. Doesn't say, don't be angry. It says, sin not. And so, we're going to open our Bibles to the 14th chapter of Mark's gospel record. And that's on page 1572, and then we're going to turn to 1573. But before we get started, I really would like for us to pray. Mark's gospel record. Father, we ask that you would open our minds. Open our minds, Father, to accept your word into our hearts today. As we remember the death, burial, and resurrection of the one we call Jesus, your Son, Yeshua, our Messiah, we know that without his sacrifice, none of us could be saved from sin or hell. Thank you for loving us sinners. Thank you for opening the way. Thank you, Lord, for taking our souls out of darkness and bringing them into light. Please eliminate the distractions from our minds, Lord. There are so many distractions. How are we going to pay the bills? Everything's shut down. Are we going to be able to get food? And I'm not going to mention all those other things that people are concerned about, Lord. Help us to pay attention to your word today. Clear all the distractions, Lord. Please turn our hearts to you. Please turn our hearts to you for your name's sake. Please, Father, open the eyes of our understanding. Let us hear only from you, only from you. Help us to believe, Father. We believe. We believe, Lord. We wouldn't be in this building if we didn't. But Father, there are so many things that are assaulting our faith today. We ask that you would just take those things out of our minds, wash them out of our hearts, Lord. Pour the Holy Spirit upon us and wash us whiter than snow. Help us, Lord, to believe. And help me, Father. I lift myself up to you. I surrender to you as your servant here today. And I ask that you would take my mouth, Lord. Take my mouth, Father, as perhaps you do each week, maybe unlike any other time, Father. That you would take the stuttering away. That you would take the blank spaces away, Lord. That you would just make everything flow in such a crystal clear manner that everyone would understand what you're speaking to their hearts today, Father. You know I believe. You know that, Lord, I serve you. You know that I ran from you for a long, long time. You know that I sinned and I fell short of your glory, and yet in your great mercy, you saw fit to forgive me. And I know that you can do that for anyone. So, Lord, please pour your Spirit upon all who are within the sound of my voice, those who will hear this, Lord, the recordings of it. Help us to learn to live as your word commands, I pray in Christ's name, and all of God's people said. Amen. Amen. Mark chapter 14. Page 1572 there in your seats. 1572 in those Bibles there in your seats. We're going to begin with verse number 1. Read verse 1 and 2. And then we're going to go over to the next page and we're going to read 53 to 65. And I want to remind everybody online that you got to check your volume, because sometimes when you listen online, your volume is the problem. It's not ours. We have people checking that. And so please check your volume on your player there when you're listening, okay? Mark chapter 14. Whoops, we got to go over to page 1571. After 2 days, 1570, excuse me. After 2 days, it was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by trickery and put him to death. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people. Now let's turn over 1573. And we'll begin at verse 53. This is after Jesus was arrested. They led him away to the high priest. And with him were assembled all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes. But Peter followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Now, the chief priests and all the council sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimonies did not agree. Then some rose up and bore false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I'll destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands.'" But not even then did their testimony agree. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?" But he kept silent. He kept silent. And he answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him, saying, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Yeshua said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "What further need do we have of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" They all condemned him to be deserving of death. Then some began to spit on him, and to blindfold him, and to beat him, and to say to him, "Prophesy." And the officers struck him with the palms of their hands. And that's where we'll stop our reading. I trust that God will add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His Word. This account is probably very familiar to most people. Most people who call themselves followers of Christ, most people who call themselves believers, most people who name the name, who really think they know that they're believers, have probably heard this, or some version of it from one of the gospel records. They arrested him. They put him on trial before the high priest and the chief priests and the elders and the scribes, all the religious leaders, the head guys, okay? This was the big chiefs of their religion. You put it whoever you want today, whatever you want to call that today. They were the most religious people of that time and that place. They were the most religious. They were the ones that God had authorized to teach His way to His people. They were to teach His plan of salvation. And at that time, right then, at that moment, it was changing. And they missed it. They missed it! They didn't see that He was the one. They didn't know that they were participating in God's plan. They had no idea that their sin had brought them to this place where they would murder this man who was sinless. They had abused the authority that Almighty God had entrusted to them, and they used it to enrich themselves. Does that remind you of anything today? There are people today who do exactly that. Religious. Righteous. Oh God. And Yeshua, He shed light upon the darkness that they operated in. And they hated Him for it. They hated Him. They didn't just dislike Him. They wanted Him dead. That's what they wanted. And they weren't going to stop until they got what they wanted. And you know, the same thing continues to happen today. There are people all over the world that want to hurt, harm, kill believers because they hate the message of the truth, because they live in darkness. And the light has come into the world, but men love darkness, and therefore, because their deeds were evil, they want nothing to do with the light. Mark 14:55, we just read. It relates the fact that the chief priests and all the council sought testimony against Jesus to put Him to death, but they found none. Oh, they got people to testify, but the testimonies didn't line up. And you think about being on trial for your faith, okay? He was on trial. This was a real trial. Now, they didn't put it off for 180 days like we do today. And now with the coronavirus scare, they're putting it off. They're even suspending that. There's no more 180-day rule. It wasn't because nobody testified. It's written that many false witnesses, many bore false witness against Him, but their testimonies didn't agree. Some rose up and bore false witness, saying they heard Him say, I'm gonna tear down this temple and I'm gonna rebuild it in 3 days. But He didn't say that. In fact, it's written in Mark chapter 13, what He did say was, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." And John's gospel record tells us, he said, "You see this great temple? There's not going to be a stone left. They're all going to be torn down." And they called it blasphemy. How dare you say that? He also alluded to His resurrection by telling them that He would raise up the temple that they destroy in 3 days. And He was talking about Himself. He was talking about His temple, the temple of the Holy Spirit that was right there in front of them that they couldn't see. Remember, He had chased the bankers and the merchants from the physical temple. He chased the devils out. Of course, they went right back in. It was their realm. They asked him, "What sign do you show us?" This is from John's Gospel record, chapter 2. "What sign do you show us since you do these things?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up." Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. And the Jews said, "It's taken 46 years to build this temple and you'll raise it up in 3 days?" They scoffed at him. "Who do you think you are?" I heard a priest say that to me one time right before he started choking me. He was speaking to the temple of his body, and therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them. And they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine, and Jesus answered him, "I spoke openly to the world. I spoke openly. I always taught in the synagogues and the temple and where the Jews always meet. So in secret, I've taught nothing. Why do you ask me?" He said, "Ask those who heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said." It was a truthful answer. They didn't like it. They didn't like that answer, okay? Mark says those who testified couldn't get their stories straight, and the high priest stood up in the midst of them and said, "Do you answer nothing?" Well, by that time, he'd shut up. That's enough. He gave them everything they needed. He already told them what they needed to hear. "Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you?" And Mark tells us he kept silent and answered nothing. Nothing more. He said nothing else. After that, it was it. They had him on trial, and he said... Now remember, the Lord tells us when we're on trial for our faith, don't worry about what you're going to say. Don't even premeditate. Don't even think about it. Just let the Holy Spirit speak through you whenever the time comes. And we're in a time, folks, that could come to a reality even for us in these United States of America. Oh, dare I say that? Yeah. I dare say it. There are people all over the world who are suffering for their faith in Christ. We've lived a life of relative safety in that respect. We can meet in these buildings, right? Well, that could change. That could change. We need to pause there for a moment. And I want to ask you, have you ever been falsely accused? Anybody? See how high my hand goes up? I have been falsely accused. Anybody ever hated you so much that they used falsehood to try to nail you? Yeah, been there. And that's what those religious leaders were doing to him. They were trying to dredge up any kind of falsehood. That religious spirit that they had, that's not of God. That's not God's spirit. It's a spirit of self-deception. It's a spirit of self-righteousness. It's not Christ-likeness. It's a tool of Satan. And we encounter people like that today. I've been encountering them ever since I started saying, "Be at peace. Relax. Fear not." I'm telling people, be not afraid. That's what the Lord says. Look, if you're followers of His way, and His way is to be not afraid, okay, 40-some times exactly written, be not afraid, or is it 28 times? I don't remember. Many, many times it says, be not afraid. Be not afraid. It is a state of being. And there are people that hate me for saying that. They want people to be afraid. I refuse. I will stand with God as my guide. And I hope and I pray that all of you will too. Because fear will get you to say or do things that you ought not when that time comes. You need to be faithful now when it's easy. Because when it gets hard, whenever your neck is on the line and somebody's going to drop a blade on it, you've got to be able to say, I will not renounce my faith. I will not. You need to be people of faith. You need to be people who are walking by the Holy Spirit, not by the spirit of this world that's driving this fear-mongering. The enemy uses that religious spirit to accuse the people of God. He uses it to turn people away from Christ. He uses it to turn them to religion and traditions and rites and rituals. Not going to see that. Not here. All of that went out. I'm going to dig a hole up on the hill, put a box in. That's where it all goes. See ya. He uses it to lure people into a false sense of security. You know, there's a time coming when the enemy of souls is going to say, okay, in order for you to buy and sell anything, you think it's bad now. In order for you to buy or sell anything, you've got to get a mark in your hand or in your forehead. And I am willing to tell you right now, there will be some people that will stand right there and say, I'll take both. Give me both. I want to be safe. Just say no. Remember that? Was it Nancy Reagan that said that? Just say no. Well, when that mark comes, okay, go hungry. Look, let me tell you something, folks, okay? It wouldn't hurt for any of us to do a little fasting. I have been. The Lord has put me into a long period of prolonged period. Not completely not eating. One meal a day. But at first it was weeks. And if you're interested in learning about that, the series from last year is online. You can listen to it. And if you're interested, ask me and I'll point you to it. The enemy uses that spirit of religion to promote anything but Christ. He uses it to further and build his demonic nations on earth. He has many demonic nations. I'm not going to go into that. That's a whole other sermon. We pray, deliver us from evil, don't we? Do we believe it? Do we believe that He will? If we don't believe that He will, then why are we praying it? Deliver us from evil, Lord. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray it. We pray it. People pray it by rote. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Yeah, okay. Why don't we really pray it? You're our Father. Your name deserves to be glorified. Not our names, and not the names of any other man, woman, or child in this world. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, as we move along in the text, we hear the priest ask him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Now, he could have denied it. No, I'm not him. No, they got it all wrong. See, I was just trying to help them live a better life. You know, they had to have their best life now. They gotta smile. They gotta feel good. You know, because after all, that's what I'm here for, is to make them feel good. But what was our Savior's response? He could have lied. He could have spared himself the punishment. They'd have released him. No, I'm not. No, they misunderstood me. That's not what I meant. He said, I am. Are you the Christ? I am. Are you the Messiah? Is what they asked him. Are you the coming one? And he said, yes. They knew the scriptures. They knew the prophecies that foretold him. They knew. Now, I heard a preacher the other day. He said, as things went along, the timeline, the prophecies were being fulfilled quicker. Okay, at first they were spaced out. And then it got smaller. The time frame in between prophecies being fulfilled all the way down to the end got faster and faster and faster. And I believe that we're seeing that right now. We are starting to see the fulfillment of prophecy just as it is written. Just as it is written. Now, either we are people of His way, and we are people who are filled with His Spirit, and we are people who are guided by Him on His path to go His way, to do His things, to His glory, or we're not. And we need to be. It doesn't matter. This thing will pass. This isn't the end, folks, okay? Now, I'm not a prophet. I'm not going to tell you it isn't absolutely, because if God says it is, it is. Boom, 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 boom. It could happen. It'd be over. We're out of here, okay? Because He says He's coming back for His people. He's coming back for His church. He's coming back for those that He loves. He's coming back for those who are marked with His mark. But we may not take another mark. You know, I heard a well-known preacher say, well, you know, the elect could take the mark and still get into heaven. Well, God says no. So, you know what? I'm going with what God says. I'm not going to do what man says. I'm going to do what God says. Because God says, no, we may not take that mark and expect to get into His everlasting kingdom. And so even if this isn't the time, personally, I don't believe it is. I don't think we're there yet. If it isn't, we still need to be prepared. We still need to be people of the way. We still need to be people of His Word. We still need to be people of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer. I'm the one. That's what He said. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power, coming in the clouds of heaven. Coming with the clouds of heaven. Wow! Bam! Right in the eyes. Their bloodshot eyes, furious. And this chief priest tears his clothes. You heard the blasphemy. What else do we have to hear? Die! Murderous eyes. Can you imagine the blood running in those murderous eyes? They wanted him gone. And he knew they had murderous eyes. Can you imagine their fury? It's written. It's written. They were furious with him. The high priest tore his clothes and he said, what further need do we have of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. They had murderous eyes. Murder in their eyes. They were hell bent on killing him. And nothing would stop that murderous train from running on those religious rails. They already envisioned his death. So as we read the last verse of our text, we learn some began to spit on him, blindfold him, beat him, say to him, prophesy. And the officers struck him with the palms of their hands. And this isn't just some story, folks. This isn't a fiction. This is a real life account. And it was recorded by more than one person. And we have the record of it in this little book that we call the bestseller of ever, the Bible. It's an account. It happened. It's real. This is the account of the things that he endured at the hands of those with murderous eyes. John's gospel record relates that they led him away to Annas first, because Annas was previously the high priest, and now his son-in-law, Caiaphas, was the high priest that year. All right? So Annas, he obviously exercised some control still. A lot of these associations do. They're in control. They know they are. They're going to do what they do because that's what they do. Because, as a lawyer once told me, they can. That's why they do what they do, because they can. And after our Lord answered Annas, Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. And it was Caiaphas, previously, who had advised the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. He had unknowingly prophesied that this was the Messiah. They were killing him, and they were exercising God's will. John goes on to say that they then led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early in the morning, but they didn't want to go into the praetorium because they didn't want to be defiled. Because after all, they had to keep their religion. They were righteous. And that praetorium, how that was defiled. It was good enough for Jesus to go in there. Good enough for him, but not for them. Oh no, they had to stay back. And so, as we go on in John's gospel record, we know they wanted to stay out of there so they could eat the Passover. Okay, they couldn't defile themselves. And John says, Pilate went out to them and said, what accusation do you bring against this man? We learn later, Pilate's wife said, have nothing to do with this. This is going to damn your soul. Don't mess with this guy. They answered and they told him, if he was not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you. So Pilate, this is the pre-wash the hands thing, okay? Pilate says, You take him. You judge him according to your law. If it's your religion that has condemned this man, then you judge him. And they said, their response, okay, shows that their eyes were already set on murder. They said, it's not lawful for us to put anyone to death. So they knew what they were doing. They're trying to shift the responsibility over to the Romans, okay, because it wasn't lawful for them to do it. And here they were going to shift that responsibility over. Y'all take care of it for us, okay? We want him dead, but you got to do it. And here's Pilate. He says, no, you're not putting this on me. No, you kill him. And they said, no, we can't. It's not lawful for us to kill him. You know, the Romans are in control here, not us. Their murderous eyes saw this was the only way to get rid of him forever. The Jews said to him, it's not lawful. And this was that the saying of Yeshua might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying what death he would die. He told his people that's how he was going to die. He prophesied it. And they didn't just want him dead, though. They thought this was going to get rid of him forever. Obviously, we know it didn't. But they didn't know at that time. They wanted him dead, but they wanted him to suffer a horrible death, and they knew the death of the cross was horrible. Stoning, one good stone knocks you out, you don't feel anything. Oh, I don't want to die by stoning, I'm not suggesting that, okay? But when they stoned somebody to death, they were beating them in the head with rocks, okay, big as they could handle. Bam, you know, one of those knocks somebody out, and they don't feel anything, they just bury them with rocks. But this death on the cross would take hours. Hours of agony, hours of suffering, trying to breathe. And that's what they wanted for him. Nothing was too good for this Yeshua, this itinerant preacher who called himself the Messiah. Nothing was too good for him. We wanted him to get the best murder possible. And we know they got what they envisioned. We see that now. We look back and we see it. And, you know, as I was preparing this message, I'm saying, Lord, how do we apply this in our lives? Like, what can we do with this? All right? How do we, as your people today, how do we live with this in our own lives, individually and as a group? And first and foremost, the Lord pointed out to me very clearly, we must remember to keep our eyes on Him. We must remember to keep our eyes on Him. It's written in Isaiah 26 and verse 3. You, speaking of God, will keep him, whomever, him or her, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Well, let's read that again. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Christ, our Lord, was at perfect peace. After he went through the garden, after he cried and sweated blood-soaked tears, as he went through that agonizing time, when it came to this, he was at peace because he kept his eyes on the Father. And that's where all of us need to be. It doesn't matter what is frightening us. We need to keep our eyes on the Father. Doesn't matter what's out there. Doesn't matter what the world brings. It doesn't matter. What matters is that we are focused on Him. We keep our eyes on Him. That we are managing our lives in His care. You will keep Him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because He trusts in you. And when things get tough, when things get scary, focus your attention on Him and not on that or them. There's those who are calling me irresponsible. Oh, you shouldn't open the doors of the church today. I said, well, we'll have a handful of people. That's what I expected. Oh, you don't know. You're putting everybody in danger. You know what? I serve Almighty God. Not the God of this land. Not the God of this world. I serve Almighty God. And if any of you, if there's anybody here who's that doesn't want to be, the doors are right there. They're not locked. You can go head out. And I say that with all seriousness, folks. I don't want anybody here who doesn't want to be here. I don't want anybody here who has any fear, who has any concern, because there are some who have health concerns and they're staying home because of that, and I applaud them for that. Praise God. And there are many that have been frightened. There have been many that have been put in such a state, a deep state of fear, that they're afraid to even go out of their house. And I get it. I get it. But I don't walk by fear. I walk by faith. Some people applaud me for that. Oh, you got it, man. You're a real deal. Yeah, I am, okay? What do you expect? I work for God. He's my boss. First and foremost, keep our eyes on Him, okay? Keep our eyes fixed on Him. And if you don't have one of these, take the one that's in your seat, okay? If you don't have one of these, it's called a Bible, all right? If you don't have one, you tell me, I'll get you one. That's how we keep our eyes fixed on Him. That's how we don't get caught up in the things of the world. If, in fact, we have our mind stayed upon Him, He will keep us at perfect peace. I want you to open your Bibles to the 23rd Psalm. You'll find that on page 852. I'm sorry that I get so loud sometimes. Psalm 23, 852 is the page that it's on in those Bibles there in your seats. 852. And we're going to read the 23rd Psalm together. I want y'all to read out with me, okay? Don't worry about your voice. Just read it out with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, wait a minute. Let's pause. Want what? Anything. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. That means He's going to take care of you. He's going to feed you. He leads me beside the still waters. He's going to give you a drink, and it's not going to be a turbulent one. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. And why? For His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Not some, not a little bit, not COVID-19. Zero. I will fear no evil. It doesn't mean the evil's not going to come upon you. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be harmed by something in this life, but you don't have to fear it. I will fear no evil. And why? For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Now, what does that mean? It means God's going to give you a whooping when you step out of line. And you're going to be comforted by it. You're going to be comforted by it. I did a sermon on this not long ago. I don't want to go into that sermon. But let me tell you, folks, this is real. I've lived it. You, speaking of God, prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Can we call upon the Holy Spirit to anoint us today? Can we call upon God's Spirit to anoint us? You do that, God, not me. My cup runs over. Surely, not maybe, surely, not perhaps, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. Not for a day, not for a week, not for a year, not for 40 years, not for 100 years, not for 1,000 years. Say it with me. Forever. 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 Now, the second thing is, what do we do? How do we apply this to our lives? Second thing is trusting Him in the little things. You're out of bread? Trust Him. You'll get bread, or you don't need it. You might want it, but see, wanting is something different from needing. Okay? When everything gets scary, trust Him. Trust Him in those little things. And that will strengthen your faith for the big things when they come. You got to exercise your faith, okay? You see people exercising, push-ups, pull-ups, whatever else people do, lift weights. I don't do any of that stuff, unfortunately. Of course, I did look and I saw that place down there, the gym, it's closed. So even if I wanted to, I couldn't. I told my wife, I don't like the way people call the bathroom the John. That's my name. Yeah. So I told her, we're going to rename ours Jim. So I could tell everybody I went to the gym today. And like I said, I went to the gym. I go to the gym every day. I don't usually tell funny things like that. I don't have it like that, but that one popped up, so. That's a true story. I know she's listening. She's going to tell you, no way, we're not naming it the gym. I want you to, on your own, I want you to read the 13th and 14th chapter of Numbers. Okay? Get your Bible out at home. Read chapter 13 and chapter 14. This is when Moses obeyed God and he sent somebody from every tribe into this land that God had promised them. And he said, spy it out. Tell us what you see there. And he came back and all but two told him, no way, we can't do it. There's no way. Oh, there are giants in the land. Oh, we can't. No. Oh, it's frightening. It's scary. Oh, no, we can't. Joshua and Caleb, on the other hand, they said, well, if God's with us, we'll take the land. It's all good. God said, we believe, we'll do it. You can choose which group you're in. There's only two. Those that believe what's written and those who don't. Our Lord, in His flesh, He trusted. He obeyed. And yes, even to the point of death. He died. Yes, He did. And sometimes some of us will. The way I preach, I'm thinking maybe I might be first. But, you know, our Lord, He knew the truth that Paul later wrote to the Romans in chapter 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God or children of God. If you're led by the Spirit, you are a child of God. And you didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to what? Fear. You didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, my Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. And remember, our Lord said, with men it's impossible. What is salvation? He said, it's impossible with men, but with God all things are possible. And as I wrap this up, I want each of you to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. I don't want you to follow the lead of the world, okay? I have to tell you that. You can do whatever you want. I'm not going to be there cracking a whip, saying, hey, you're going off. No. Let Him guide every step. As you walk day to day, I want you to hear the Spirit. And meditating on His Word helps you to hear His Spirit. Praying. Even you're going down the road, if you're in a vehicle, pray, God, guide me. Take my steps. Let them be Your steps. Let me do what You want me to do. Let me go where You want me to go. Let me be who You want me to be. Let me say what You want me to say. Walk by faith, not fear. Fear is not the answer, folks. If you're a believer, it is time to lead others to the one who can save their souls. As you see people cowering in fear, maybe they don't want to get together because of social distancing, and out of an abundance of caution. I get all that. I get all that, okay? I really do, people. I do. There's people who are accusing me of being irresponsible because I'm saying, peace, be still, like the Lord said. Peace. Be still. It's time to lead others to the one who can save their souls, because their everlasting souls are going to end up somewhere. They're going to live somewhere, because our energy does not stop. We will be given a new body, and it will last forever. And His Word's clear. Yeshua was clear. If you're not sure if you're His, for those that are in the building, if you're not sure, if there's anybody here who's not sure, I want you to come up. And there are people here I know who will lay hands on you, and we will pray for God to pour His Spirit upon you, and He will take over your life if you surrender to Him. I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to You I surrender. And for anybody who's listening online, who listens later, find somebody you can pray with. Tell God yourself, God, I'm sorry, I messed up. You know, we've got prayers that we pray, and some call a sinner prayer and all that. Let me tell you, God will accept your repentance just upon the moment that you say, I believe. The man on the cross next to Christ proves that. Because He said, bring me, remember me when you come into Your kingdom. And He says, I'll tell you what, you're going to be there with me. Now, I'm not saying wait to the last moment, okay, because you may not get the breath to say it. Do it now. Now is the day of salvation. Now. No matter what, I want you to remember, if you don't remember anything else from this message, I want you to remember that faith is a state of being. It's not a state of doing. Although you will do out of your faith the things that Almighty God calls for you to do, faith is a state of being. Being not afraid. That's what faith is. It is a state of being not afraid. And again, if you don't remember anything else, I want you to remember that. Okay? Be not afraid. Peace, be still. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, that You are in control. We thank You, Father, that You have the words of everlasting life. We thank You, Father, that we can come together to praise You, to worship You, to glorify Your name, and that we will not walk by fear but by faith. And we thank You, Father, that You have each of us in Your hand. We trust, Lord, that You will call people out of the darkness and into the light through this scary time that we see around us, when so many are caving to fear. And I know that there are some that are forced to, Lord. I know that there are some who are not well, who must restrict their access to other people. I know that, and I appreciate that. And I thank You, Father, for those people, especially those that come into this building on a regular basis, Lord. I lift them up to You, and I ask for Your blessing upon them, that You would open up their breathing, Lord, that their air passageways would be wide open, that they would receive nothing but fresh air, Father. That You would protect each and every one within the sound of My voice from anything that would harm them, including this virus. It's called COVID-19 and SARS something else, whatever the name is that's being thrown around there now, Lord. I just ask that You would protect us, especially those, Lord, who have respiratory illnesses. I pray, Father, as we go forward, that You would guide each and every one of us to walk on Your path, Your way, Your will, not ours. That we would fully surrender. That we would just give everything to You, Father. That we would hold back nothing. We pray this all in Christ's name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. Would you all mind if we received an offering?